Todsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
If you were listening last week, we considered the fall out of Genesis chapter 3. And this morning, I would like us to consider the first story that took place after the fall. This is the story of Cain and Abel. Now, let me remind you, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Every word of this book is God-breathed, God-inspired, said exactly as God would have it said. This is the religion of this book. Old Testament, New Testament, same message. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And there is nothing in this book that is unnecessary or even of secondary importance. Now, that being said, there is no scripture more important than the one before us, the story of Cain and Abel. Now, in giving this story, I'm going to be describing you. I'm going to be describing me. Cain and Abel are the two representative men. You and I are either a Cain or an Abel. Now, the timing of this story is important. This is the first story after the fall. And the teaching of this story is how God is to be worshiped and how God can be approached by a fallen sinner and be accepted. We find out who God accepts and respects and who God rejects and has no respect for at all. Now, that gives us some idea of the importance of this story. Two representative men that represent the two religions, the religion of Cain and the religion of Abel. Every religion can be deduced to this, either the religion of Cain or the religion of Abel. Salvation by grace and salvation by works. And these two men represent the two types of men there are in God's sight, the righteous and the wicked. Now remember, we're talking about how God sees things. How God sees things is how they really are. Somebody once said, we're all three different people. We're the people we think we are, we're the people others see us to be, and we're the people God knows we are. God sees perfectly. And all men are divided into two groups, the righteous and the wicked. Abel was viewed by God as righteous. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous. This is God's testimony. God testifying of his gifts, and he, by it being dead, yet speaketh. When the Lord spoke of Abel, he spoke of righteous Abel. Abel is a righteous man. Cain was a wicked man. John tells us he was of that wicked one. And when Jude speaks of Cain, he speaks of the way of Cain, that the false prophet follows, the way of salvation by works. The righteous and the wicked are seen in Cain and Abel. Now listen to this statement very carefully. I can't take this too far. All of the wicked believe themselves to be righteous. We're going to see that so clearly in Cain. All of the wicked, no exceptions, believe themselves to be righteous. You take the most immoral man alive, and he'll still think he has a good heart. He'll still think if he's given the right opportunities, he'll do well. He still thinks he has certain abilities. He believes himself to be righteous. And all of the righteous, without exception, believe themselves to be wicked. Abel exemplifies that, as we shall see. Cain and Abel. Now let me say once again, by way of introduction, I could not be speaking on anything more important than this subject. I hope you'll give me your careful attention. Now in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now what she meant by that, she was referring to the gospel promise in the previous chapter when God promised that the seed of woman would crush the serpent's head. And she thought, this is him. And she named him Cain. That name means purchased or acquired. Verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. Abel means vanity. I guess Abel was just an afterthought. She was much more concerned about Cain being the man, and Abel was just vanity. And Abel, the scripture says, was a keeper of sheep, but Cain a tiller or a worker of the ground. He worked upon that which God had already cursed. You remember God said to Adam, cursed be the ground for thy sake. So his sphere of operation was where God had already cursed. Adam or Abel, a shepherd. Cain, a farmer. Verse 3, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Now the process of time means the end of days. Even then, there was a time for public worship. This was the time when they brought their offerings. Now, public worship is important. Somebody says, well, I don't need public worship. I can worship privately. Well, I know you say that, but somebody that says that doesn't really worship privately. That's just words. You worship publicly. Yes, your most peaceful, blessed times of private worship is during public worship, when God is speaking to you through the preaching of the word. But there is a place for public worship. And he says, at the end of the days, and in the process of time, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. Now these two offerings represent the two different religions, the religion of works and the religion of grace. The religion of works, what does that mean? That means some part of your salvation is dependent upon, contingent upon what you do. You may think Christ did most of it, but there's some little part you need to do to make it work. If you believe there's some little part you need to do to make it work, you believe in salvation by works, salvation by human merit. The religion of grace, this is the only true religion. This is the only religion that saves. It makes salvation dependent upon what Christ has done. Not what you do, but what Christ has done. Your salvation is 100% dependent upon what Jesus Christ has done. If any aspect of salvation is left up to you, you will not be saved. You know that. Your salvation is dependent upon what Christ has done. Now, I have no doubt that Adam had taught his sons about what took place in the garden. He talked about them eating the forbidden fruit and what took place as a result. He told them about how they tried to sew fig leaves together to make themselves acceptable before God, but God in His mercy slew an animal and clothed them. And I have no doubt it was a lamb that they were clothed with. He told about the seed of woman that was going to come and crush the serpent's head. He said the only way God can be approached is through a sacrifice, like the Lord slew that animal. It's not that animal that saves. It's not that animal's blood that saves. It's that coming one who will save. He was looking to Christ alone even then. There's always only been one gospel. People talk about different dispensations. There's one dispensation, the dispensation of God's decree, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abel was saved the same way any New Testament believer is saved, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Abel's religion, I think, can be summarized by a song we sing, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." This was the religion of Abel. He believed God was holy. He believed he was sinful. And he would not dare approach God in any way but through the blood. He brought that blood that pointed to the coming one. He knew that God was going to send his son to put away sin. Scripture says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was coming only in the blood. He's saying, I'm so sinful, I deserve to be cast off. And the only way a holy God can accept me is through the blood atonement of the glorious Lamb of God. He came through the blood. God can only be approached by the promised seed of woman and his precious blood. And there is no worship of God without that. Now, Cain saw no need of that. As long as his heart was right, any kind of sacrifice will do. You see, in reality, he had no respect for God. He had no fear of God. He thought he could come into God on his own. He thought his works, that's what the vegetables he presented represented, my works. He took the best vegetables and presented them to the Lord, thinking the Lord could accept them. What he demonstrated by that is he had no respect, no fear of God, no regard for his holiness, and he really believed himself to be a good man, a righteous man. Surely God will accept these. I accept them. I see their beauty. Surely God sees their beauty. Surely God will be pleased with this. And so here we have the two men. Abel believed himself to be a sinner and wouldn't dare approach God apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no other plea. Cain felt like he could come into God's presence in his own works. Now, once again, this is an example of the wicked who believe themselves to be righteous, Cain, and the righteous who believe themselves to be wicked, Abel. Now, let's look at God's response to these two offerings. We read, and the Lord, this is just Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Now, one thing that I notice in these two verses I just read, the person and the offering cannot be separated. Let me repeat that, and I want you to think about that. The person and the offering cannot be separated. If I bring my works, what I reveal by that is I'm a blinded, self-righteous person who thinks God can accept something that I do. It demonstrates that I have no regard for God, no respect for God. I come on my own. Abel cannot be separated from his offering. He demonstrated by bringing the blood that he believed himself to be a sinner, and he believed that God was holy and he could never be saved by his works. The only way he could come is by Christ. And the scripture says that God had respect to Abel and his offering. Now, respect, that is so foundational to any kind of relationship. You can't have a good marriage if you don't respect your spouse. The children need to respect their parents, honor your father and mother. In an employee-employer relationship, the employer needs to respect his employee, and the employee needs to respect his employer. That is foundational to a good relationship. Without respect, you don't have a good relationship. You do your children, and I would do my children a disservice if I don't teach them to respect authority. Now, God had respect to Abel. Now, something must be infinitely glorious for God to have respect for it, but God had respect to Abel and to his offering. You see, the offering of Abel made him somebody God, the infinite holy God, could actually respect and gaze on with approval. That's the power of the blood of Christ. It makes me capable of God respecting me. You see, I'm made just like Christ. I'm given his righteousness. I have no sin because of his blood. And God had respect unto Abel and his offering. If you're somebody who pleads only the blood, God respects you. But to Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. Now, Cain didn't respect God. He demonstrated that when he brought his works. He had no fear of God. He brought whatever he wanted. I don't have any doubt that Adam told him to only bring the blood offering, but he thought, well, as long as my heart's right, it doesn't matter what offering there is. He had no respect for God. He had no regard for his holiness. He thought he could come waltzing into his presence without the blood, and God had no respect for him. He was offensive to God. God had no respect unto Cain or to his offering. Now, what was Cain's response to that? We don't have to guess. Verse 5, And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Cain was very angry that God did not respect his offering. He said in his heart, This is not fair. How could it be that God could accept my brothers and not accept me? That's not fair. I'm bringing my best. God is treating me wrong. All of a sudden, Cain becomes a victim. He is a victim of God treating him wrong. So he thinks. He charges God with injustice. It's the way Adam did. The woman you gave me, she gave me the tree, the fruit of the tree, and I did eat. It's not really my fault. It's your fault. He was angry. And that's the natural man's response to the gospel. All of a sudden, a man as sinful as Cain thinks he can sit in judgment on God and decide what he thinks is right and what he thinks is wrong. Oh, we're in dangerous waters there when we're like that. God's always right and we're always wrong. Let God be true and every man be a liar. Well, Cain is very wroth. He's very angry. And God says, Why is your countenance fallen? And then he says in verse 7, If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now here we have the first mention of sin. Now God says to Cain, If you do well, you will be accepted. If you bring the same offering your brother Abel did, looking only to the blood of the coming one, my son, who would accomplish salvation, you will be accepted just like Abel was. You will be respected just like Abel was. Now, understand this. If you come to God for mercy, pleading only the blood of Christ, you will be saved. Now, it's true. God elected a people. That's not everybody. It's true. Christ died only for the elect. That's not everybody. But it's also true that everybody who comes to him for mercy, he receives. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And the first time sin, the word sin is used is if, with regard to bringing the wrong sacrifice. He says in verse 7, If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. It's the cause behind of it. And unto thee shall be his desire. That's talking about sin's desire. He desires to rule over you, and thou shalt rule over him if you do well. Verse 8, And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Now this wasn't a congenial talk. This was an argument. He was upset over the fact that God had respect to Abel and had no respect to him. He was upset. He was indignant. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And I can imagine how the conversation went. Cain said, This is not fair. How God would accept your sacrifice and not accept mine. And Abel replied, Cain, this is the only way God can be approached. We've been taught this, and we believe this. We're sinful, and the only way we can be accepted is through the coming one, the Lord Jesus Christ. We plead only his blood. You can't come any other way. Cain says, Why, you narrow-minded bigot, you think your way is the only way. You self-righteous jerk, you just put out everybody that doesn't believe just like you do. You think your way is the only way. Abel says, This is not my way, this is God's way. This is the only way of approach. We are evil, God is holy. There can be no other way but the way of blood. Cain's boiling by now. And he says, Blood, I'll show you blood. And he bashes his brother's brains out, and the blood flows to the ground. Now remember, you say, how could somebody do that? Remember, they didn't have human judges then and human juries in prison. He had no fear of the consequence of the actions. He just knew he totally resented what his brother stood for, and he killed him for it. Now, what took place? This is the first murder. Abel's the first martyr. And I know what the issue was. The same issue that was then is the issue now. The blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whose blood was shed? God's blood. The blood of the God-man. Why did he shed it? Because of sin. The sins of the elect became his, and he became guilty before God, and it was God who killed him. What did he accomplish by his blood? The complete salvation of everybody he died for. Oh, what a glorious accomplishment. Who did he die for? Everybody he died for, the elect, those the Father gave him. He's a successful Savior. The issue has always been the blood. Now, he's killed his brother. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? He knew. And he said, I know not. He lies to the Lord. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now what did the blood of Abel cry? Justice, vengeance, condemnation. That man should be destroyed. And understand this. Every sin we've ever committed cries to God from the ground. Every injustice, things we don't even know we've been guilty of, it all cries to God from the ground. But listen to this. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, we read of the blood of Christ, the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, Abel's blood cried to the ground, and it cried out for justice and vengeance. Christ's blood came to the ground, soaked up in the dirt, the soil, just like Abel's. But it cries something else. It cries, forgive him. Save him. Make his sins to be no more. Make him to be justified. The blood of Christ demands the salvation, the complete forgiveness of sins of everybody he represented. Oh, indeed, the blood of Christ has greater things to say than the blood of Abel. Cain and Abel, works and grace. Which man are you? Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you write the church or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Neibert praying that God will reveal himself to you. For Christ's sake, amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.neibert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.